B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Party, it's 301. Mike Mesnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 3 o'clock hour. It is brought to us by Corp Lee's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays. Every bit as good. It is a General Knowledge Wednesday, and so far we've had a good first hour with correct answers. So, like I said, I've eased it up today, and all these questions should be answered, and everybody should be eligible for the Gold Dipperos. By the way, we got the dog vet situation.
Oh, what's happening?
Ironed out. Got a text late in the show yesterday from the vet saying that there was an opening that they had at 6:30 last night.
Oh, nice.
So, but I couldn't get back to him until after the show. So as soon as I left the show last night, I called him and they go, well, yeah, we kept the spot open for you. So I drove her, scooped her up, drove her over there. And they informed me they took a lot of yeast out of that right ear.
Oh. And she got the medicine.
And she got the medicine.
Oh, good.
So she just felt better.
Yeah. They cleaned her right ear, and then I put the medicine this morning. So she should be
okay. Should be good
now,
as new.
Now, is there anything you can do to keep this from happening again?
I don't think so. But see, the thing is, she got the Christmas tree ears that stick up. Right?
Yeah.
So she plays hard. Like, she chases stuff. And, like, I throw the ball to her. So she's always, like, diving at the ball and kicking up dirt and stuff. And, yeah. Like, and so she's going face first to grab the ball with her snout. So that puts her ears in dirt, in harms of dirt
right.
way.
So I guess it'll happen until she gets older and slows down.
I guess so.
Down.
I don't know. It's like a byproduct of having a dog that has those kind of ears.
Yeah.
It don't flop over to protect them.
Uh-huh. I have to get Gingy to the vet. She has a little bit of an issue.
Does she?
Yeah.
Ear-wise?
No. It's she sounds like she has a hairball. Like, she keeps coughing. So at one point, I thought she was choking, but she wasn't. So I have to get her to the vet. I don't know what it is.
Buy her hairball food.
Well, she eats the small kibble anyway. I buy her the specialty food, the small kibble, because she's so tiny.
Yeah. But they have specialty food for hairball.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Yeah, to reduce hairball.
For dog hairballs?
Yes.
Yep, for dogs and cats.
And then I feel guilty because what if she got the hairball when I clipped her on Sunday? But I don't think so.
No, I don't think it's that.
No.
They just accumulate. You know,
maybe.
Their mouths, they go, so like, stuff's gone in there.
Yeah, she just sounds like she's like, eh.
Yeah, buy a little anti-hairball food.
Okay.
Yeah, loosen it up.
I will.
All right, let's go Mike in Creekside. What's up, Mike?
How you doing? First of all, say, Natalie, this is the first time I done called back since you've been back on live. And how you doing, gentlemen?
We're doing fantastic, Mike. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. By the grace of the Lord, I'm healthy right now.
Guy.
Okay, I'm going with the Eagles, of course.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I would like to see them re-sign Peterson. And because right now, as I told the producer, I don't want to see them going in with basically two weak positions on that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the defensive tackle's still going to be all right, but I don't know who they have to...
All right, so you want Jason Peters to come back and play guard.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds like an interesting solution. Sounds like a solution that we the easiest solution. But Sal Powell yesterday just threw cold water on that. He says, "Nah, it's not going to happen." But he doesn't think Jason Peters would agree to something like that.
I don't know why. I mean, plus the fact I get mad like most. Fans in Philadelphia sports,
mm-hmm.
We always seem to take and throw away our superstars and never really let them finish in Philadelphia.
Well, like who you talking? Like who? I think that's a myth. Who are we talking about? We throw away our superstars.
Well, right now my mind is ignoring, but I know
that's a misconception. I think in this city we don't give away our superstars. They can finish elsewhere. Like Reggie White's the only guy.
The one that came to mind is like Charles Barkley. That's the one.
Yeah, he wanted to get out of here. He made it impossible for them to keep him.
And there's others, but my mind is I wasn't.
There really isn't others. Reggie White's the only guy they made a mistake. They consciously let him go somewhere.
Yeah. But at any rate, I don't... Well, who do they have to take? Because, I mean...
The spot? They've got two guys on the roster now, and one guy they like is Matt Pryor. They've got two draft picks that they selected that can maybe slide in there. They can go out and get a free agent who's available.
Well, what's a better free agent?
Than Jason Peters?
Yeah.
Well, the point isn't whether Jason Peters, it's whether he wants to do that. So now, talking to Sal, he says he doesn't think he'd be amenable to playing guard.
So he said it,
but Sal, for some reason, isn't buying it.
So Sal's word, so it's still between Jason Peters and the Eagles, right?
Sal is saying that he doesn't think Jason Peters would be interested in that. All right, Mike is gone. I don't know what happened to Mike.
It's always in theory to say, oh, yeah, I'll stick around, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then until you see the rookie out there and you decide, you know, that guy, I'm better than that guy. Mm-hmm. And then you go, you know what? Not such a good idea. Move him to guard.
Yeah, that's what Sal was saying. That if Jason Peters comes back, it would be the tackle. And then you move Dillard to guard.
Yeah. So. And, you know, Brooks is, it's going to be almost impossible to replace Brooks because of how good he is. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles, in my opinion, do a pretty good job overall drafting offensive line. They going back to Andy Reid forward. Even Chip, they mm-hmm. do a good job drafting offensive linemen. Maybe an in-house guy is the best option. A young in-house guy to develop is the best option. Maybe the Peters thing isn't the best option. Let the kids sink or swim. I don't know. I'm torn about it because part of me thinks he probably, if he wanted to play, mm-hmm. he could step in and do a good job. But then part of me thinks, what about this 25-year-old guy who I developed? Maybe he can step in. You know, it's
I'm torn. You know, he tweaked me with that. This is one of my pet peeves about in covering Philly sports all these years. This perception that we allow our superstars to go and flourish elsewhere. And I'm going, all right, I want to make a list. All right, like I really want to talk about it. Make a list because it to me it's such a misconception. I put Reggie White on the list and that's it. Is there somebody else that we consciously let go to star elsewhere? Barkley, we didn't consciously let him go. He squirmed his way out of here.
And Wilt did too, right?
Yeah. Wilt didn't want nothing to do here with this place. That's a different category. But we just don't willy-nilly give up stars to go elsewhere and be stars.
No.
Like Scott Rowland was a pain in the ass here. He did, you know, he hated it here. And he talked his way out. Oops. At that point, you can't force the guy to be here. He had a couple good years with St. Louis. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't a superstar. Was he?
No, although he's going to make the Hall of Fame apparently in the next 2 years.
Who?
Scott Rowland.
Hall of Fame?
I'm dead serious.
Get out.
Yes.
No way he makes the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is.
What are you talking about?
These new analytics guys, it started last year during the voting where they started looking at him and he rose and they're setting up in the next couple of years for Rowland to get in because of his defense and this. The analytics geeks
are ridiculous.
I'm not arguing with you. The guy sat out Scott Rowland Day when I went to the game. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame neither. I'm just saying that
I get to look at those numbers.
The younger generation of writers, Rowland is going up. And the fact that he has a World Series, that he checks a bunch of analytics boxes for mm-hmm. people. He's going to get in.
Yeah, but am I missing this? Like these superstars that we let thrive elsewhere other than Reggie White? Like I can't even think of another guy.
People will want to say, and
they always use Barkley, and that's not accurate.
I remember when I was a kid, they said Smoke Stewart.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything. Like he wasn't a guy of accomplishment that they like. Oh, let him go because he wasn't good.
I'm telling you what I used to be told.
Yeah, we worked out against them, but that's not the criterion. Is we have a star,
right?
And we let them go elsewhere to be more of a star.
Well.
And I know that it's such a fallacy.
I don't think that's ever happened.
What about we let a lot of players go who might not be stars, but they go elsewhere and win?
Well, who?
Like Mike Richards and Jeff Carter?
Okay. The Flyers.
I mean, the Flyers have done that a lot.
Flyers have done that. Flyers had more guilty.
Yeah, but it wasn't like
they got
value in that deal. Like, it wasn't like they got value and it was completely one sided and Richards and Carter were so much better than what they got. They got Simmons in that deal.
Yeah.
And
but...
and somebody else. Hartnell, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got a couple of guys that replaced them. The dynamic was, like, they didn't turn out to be superstars, Mike Richards.
They were good on some winning teams, though. They won the Stanley Cup. Out there with the Kings.
Yeah, with the Kings. It was the following year.
But the closest thing is the Flyers. For the most part, no. There's no Sixer that were like, it's not like Larry Hughes became a star.
No, it's like nobody, there's this misconception about Phil. Oh, we always let our superstars go. I go, who? Who are we talking about?
Why am I blanking? Hunter Pence?
That was a mistake, but it wasn't like they let him. He was such a goof. Like he wasn't exceptional that we go, oh, we're going to give this guy away. He's going to be a star somewhere
else. He was clutch in the playoffs, but he wasn't a great player. He was clutch for San Fran.
We thought he was going to be better than he really was when he got here.
Yeah. The key thing was they traded away prospects and got nothing for him.
I'm trying to come up with a list. You can't come up with a list of five. And people have this like notion that, oh my God, this town, they don't know what they have. Whoa, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's not like Seattle that lost Griffey, Randy Johnson, and A-Rod. Like, we don't have three like that.
We lost Reggie White, and it was a conscious decision by an idiot owner.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's where my list stops.
I think it's just like a hindsight bitterness thing for Philadelphia fans.
It's a typical Philadelphia grumbly fan. I'm trying to change that mindset.
Right.
Where the sky's always falling. Oh, look what we do in Philadelphia. We run our superstars out of town.
Yeah.
Like, that's a typical Philadelphia grumble. That's not true.
Right.
And it burns me.
Yeah.
I'm Brenton in New Cumberland. Brenton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
What's up, Brenton?
I totally agree with you, Mike, without a doubt, with your last comment. I think like Philadelphia fans, like whatever the sport is, we all get emotionally attached to like our stars and then they're past their prime. And like, it seems like we let them go, but like, you know, they're already past that point. Like, you know, I think like right after Reggie White, the only person that left here probably in their prime was like T.O. That was that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, but there's sex again. There were circumstances there. They would have just let him go.
But the presumption is that we are stupid
and we let great players go to be great players elsewhere. Yeah, and I don't get that.
That's an ignorant by definition thought.
It is.
But anyhow, I have post-it notes here, so let me stick to my notes here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call for, I haven't talked to you in a while, but, I want to say thanks. I was one of the first people that won the Fast Cash contest. I listen every day to you guys, so it was, you know, it was cool to just be like one of the listeners that benefited from that. My wife and I used that for our bills and our like 40 other million people that were affected by the situation right now. So I just wanted to, you know, sincerely and simply say, thanks for that, Mike.
Congratulations to you, Brenton. That's the odds of that happening are pretty slim. So you bagged,
Mike. I've never won anything before like that, Mike. It was just so flipping cool. I listened to you guys every single day. I was like, you know, it was just great, man. Not to mention, I'm legally blind, so my wife had to register me online for all that stuff. So it was such a moment for us, and I really mean that, man.
Cool, man.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right, yeah, you had something else to say? Because I'm going to give you a question.
Sorry. All right, yeah.
All right, here we go.
You know, I'll just go to my question.
Oh, no. You got something else to say? Go ahead.
All right, well, let me try and read it here. I said MLB season, you know, potentially coming back, even if it was shortened, I think it would still, for me, like, have, like, really significant meaning. And I'm saying that because, like, you know, it increased, like, the odds of my sports teams to potentially win and, like, you know, come through for like all of us. Like, we all need a win. I mean, like, everybody needs a win, like the whole way around. Say like the Phillies won and everybody now would be like discrediting it. Like all the Mets fans or like typical Dallas people, you know what I mean? They hate and they hate. But to like us and to like all the people, you know, maybe 10, 15 years from now, like, holy hell, remember that pandemic we all went through? That's right. The Phillies won that crazy ass season, you know?
Mm, yeah.
But anyway.
You.
And I also want to say, shout out to my guy, Greg, batting leadoff. You know, holy crap, he's batting leadoff like 4 days in a row. So what's up, Greg?
All right, man. Then, Brent, let me give you a question. Here we go. It's a person by clue. All right. All right. So I'm going to give you three clues. You got to tell me the person I'm trying to get here. All right. Had a scar.
Harry Potter.
Had a scar, Alcatraz, and tax evasion.
Trump?
What? Trump? Come on. What's Trump had to do with Alcatraz?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. And where's the scar? Trump have a scar?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
That's Al Capone, man. Yes. I overthought that one. Al Capone has a scar, went to Alcatraz, and I finally got him for tax evasion. With the Untouchables.
That's fraudulent, too. That's what you get him on.
Kevin Costner got him, man. Come on.
Yeah, that movie was good, except for Costner.
Oh, Natalie, you missed Yellowstone last night.
I know.
It was the date.
All right.
They went on the date. The crazy girl goes on with the date. They're watching a wolf. They're watching a pack of wolves tear up a buffalo with a bottle of Southern Comfort. That was the date.
I know.
And this crazy girl jumps out of the car and starts, with the bottle in her hand, starts running to the wolves, going, ah!
Why? Why does she do? I should just watch the scene.
Well, listen, here's the problem. I'll tell you why. She's carrying a lot of guilt in her life.
You go running towards wolves,
no,
drunk?
No, I ain't telling you. She's brilliant, but she's crazy because a traumatic thing happened when she was a little girl.
Okay.
She was a bratty little girl, and that forced the mother to fall off a horse.
Oh, no. So she has a lot of guilt? Okay. Did the mom...
I assume that's why she said loony.
Well, I mean, maybe not.
And last night also, she walked out of the house with a bottle of champagne, with a robe on, threw a heating coil in a big water tub, and got naked.
And then was she gonna...
In front of all the cowboys.
Wow.
And went in the tub.
Sounds like she's got a lot of internal work to do.
Well, she's completely out of her mind.
Yeah, I know.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
She runs a lot of things.
Right? Including into the wolves.
Does
she dance with the wolves? Does she dance with the wolves or does she just run?
She's so crazy insane. It's like the stuff she goes, you go, what?
With sports resuming, I got a question for you real fast. In the Italian soccer league, now that they've resumed, they put, you know how some fans hold up like signs and stuff? And they cover their heads, and you can almost read what the sign says, like in these large scale things.
Yeah.
They're simulating those in the stands on TV. Well, would you be okay with that in the NBA if it resumes, or baseball?
They're doing what?
So, like, there's different colored signs that fans would hold up over their heads.
Yeah.
So, like, all of a sudden, the section turns red, or this whole section turns blue. Like, they hold it down on cue. Yeah. They leave that on the screen, basically. So, one section's red, that's what they're doing, and they kind of shake. So that when they show the stands, that's what you see. Like, would you be okay with that in America?
Yeah.
Just because I've seen some of the Italian soccer, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Well, how many people you need to do that?
No. What? It's fake. It's all digital.
They're putting it in. Oh,
right,
okay.
As if they're doing it. And then sometimes they put in sponsors over it, too.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's better, I think, than the fake fans.
The fake people. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fake graphic as if people were covering their heads. That to me is more viable than the fake person going.
Here's what I know. The whole thing on its face is different. So why would I quibble about any kind of wrinkle they put into it? You know, like my brain's already saying it's going to be different. So however you want to make it more different,
go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it. All right. Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Joe? Rally.
About the Eagles. I mean, I think Jason Peters, I think if he came back, I think he should be the one to play guard. I mean, I just think because of experience and all that kind of stuff like that, he would get him. And then last year, I think he would be, especially with Les moving around. He just sounds like he can't mess with these.
Yeah, but Sal raised a good point yesterday. Here's a guy who's got immense pride. He's going to the Hall of Fame, maybe the best left tackle ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
So like, he's going to come back and he goes, I know I'm better than that young dude they got playing at left tackle. They're going to dilute my legacy, move me to guard. Like, he may think that way. I don't know.
Well,
wouldn't you think that way?
No, I think for 1 year, his legacy is set in stone already. But I think for 1 year, I mean, with all the experience and the talent that he is, I think it would, you know, I think the rookie would be a disaster. I mean, a guard. I mean, when they moved him to the other side last year, it was horrible. So I think you leave him where he at. And I think Peter's next to him, you know, it was solid.
No, I think you have the right idea. Because the other part is, if he plays tackle, you have to account for him getting injured and getting taken out of games. And then what do you do?
Exactly.
So I think you have the safest plan. It's just a matter on whether he would be on board with it.
Yeah, I hope he would. And with the receiver, with Alshon Jeffries, I just think if this year for the Eagles is the wrong time to mess with receivers. It's the wrong time. It's the weakest receiver crew they ever had. DeSean Jackson is 30-something years, you know, older, and he's coming back after one game last year, and the rest of the guys is flat-out rookies. Mm-hmm. I just think there's no time to be messing around with Alshon Jeffries and Carson Wentz. I think we're more sensitive than Carson is. You know what I mean? I really believe that, you know what I mean? He is that type of Christian dude. Like, it's over with, it's over with. They're not going back and forth in the media. Mm-hmm. I think Alshon got in front of a woman and was running his mouth a little bit too much, and that's just what happened. You know what I mean? I think Justin Anderson just had him running his mouth a little bit too much.
All right, so you bring him back open arms and you go, let's go.
Oh, yeah, The position is too weak. The position is too weak to make any weaker, especially to take a salary.
It's two schools of thought. One is you cultivate everything you can do to make your quarterback feel good. The other is you make your team, like, he should be big enough to get past it.
Yeah, I don't think Carson was nowhere that sensitive. I don't think that serious a situation between them two.
Okay. All right. General knowledge question for you. Here it is. This is the easy general knowledge category. What is the second planet from the sun?
Second planet or something like that. Is it Jupiter?
Oh, no, man. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars.
Then Jupiter. Yes. Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto.
Correct.
Pluto. No longer Pluto.
But Pluto may end up being back in.
Yeah, they may bring it back.
They shouldn't have axed it in the first
place. Because they found other planets that were smaller. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And Pluto was bigger than they estimated. They thought it was too small. Then it turns out it's a little bit bigger than they thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They probably got a little knee jerk.
Yeah.
The Pluto off. They should have left it and did more research.
I know. The anti-Pluto movement was
strong.
It really was. So is there life on Venus?
No.
Too close to the sun?
Well, it rains sulfuric acid.
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the environment isn't sustainable for human life. Not that they've been able to find. It's just it's made of gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
The best bet. Here I am. Yeah. The best bet over to here. Isn't it one of the moons around Saturn out there could possibly have life?
That was a recent report that I saw.
Yeah,
but it's mostly Mars.
The moons around Saturn has life.
Possibly that, because
there's some sort of sustainable environment for
because
it.
Because the planet gas giant,
mm-hmm.
even though it's far from the sun, it would get enough energy from the planet to where there could be ice and all that kind of stuff that you would need the liquid water to have mm-hmm. life.
Mars is our best bet, and I'm ready.
It's good astronomy knowledge you guys have.
I wanted to be an astronaut. I studied
You studied astronomy?
I mean, I read about astronomy intensively. I did as a child as well, yes. That's why I know it rains sulfuric acid on Venus. Who knows that?
That's good knowledge.
I got no interest in space.
Well, I love space.
I was fascinated.
You wouldn't want to go to space? Like, I watched that SpaceX.
I got enough to occupy my mind here.
But in the middle of the riots, I watched the SpaceX launch.
You did not.
When they sent the two astronauts up there, I watched every second. I couldn't wait. My wife watched with me. It was great.
Those lucky ducks.
Yeah, they get to go to space. You wouldn't want to go to space tomorrow.
No.
You could do the show from space. You're not going to do the show from space.
What am I going to do in space? What's the big intrigue about space?
Like, you're going to outer space. It's like the answer to the universe.
Well, you're escaping?
No, what are you doing out there?
I'm coming back with better stuff. Microwave, for example.
What are you coming back with?
The satellite.
Information.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to have the information to make the world better.
Yes.
Alternative, cheaper fuel, different ways, better communication.
See, I want to go colonize. Ty'll come back. I'm going to stay and colonize.
Yeah, I'm not colonizing. No, I'm not coming back. I'm giving you 6 weeks. Uh-huh. Good weeks of research, and I'm back.
610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show, General Knowledge Wednesday. Back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Hi, it's 3:30, and it's time to get an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agnoff. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 700 votes on this one so far. Do you think the players will follow the NBA bubble protocol? 25% say yes, 75% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Jerks in the comments.
I'm sorry?
A lot of jerks in the comments.
Oh, really? What are they saying?
They're not following their marriage vows. How are they going to follow this and stuff like that?
Oh, well.
I mean, it's fine, but it's like, oh, I didn't expect even anger from this kind of question.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's got this email from a guy who thinks that I should be speaking out. In favor of maintaining the Christopher Columbus statue.
Because you're Italian.
Because you're Italian.
Because I'm Italian. And see, this is what we struggle with here. Because I don't think the guy knows. The people that are pro-Columbus, I see, like, at first blush that somehow they take some Italian pride in Christopher Columbus. And I get that part of it. But if you look deeper, you can't have pride in somebody who enslaved people, who raped women, and who beheaded and enslaved and slayed Native Americans. So, I will hold back when it comes to that because I know the other side of it. So this guy says, in this Black Lives Matter movement, other lives and cultures are expected to take a supporting role. So Italian Americans are not supposed to complain at the erasure of a man who intimately identified with their history, the only Italian Catholic to hold the most important seat in municipal politics. Well, you don't mention the other part of it. And then he says, it's unfortunate that you and Anthony, two very proud Italian Americans, would not use your platform to speak out against this. That's bad. I put everything in balance, right? Like, I have pride in my heritage, and the Italian culture has contributed a lot to society, and I recognize it. But when it comes to a guy like Christopher Columbus, I go, yeah, but there's this other side. So I can't defend it.
Sorry, Nat, to cut you off. You always, when people use Italian stereotypes, you're the first one to call it out. Whether it's something small like the pizza box to when somebody... Yes. Or in a network said something out of line. Like you it's not like you hide from the Italian
right,
thing.
That form rankles me because it's a stereotype
right.
That Italians are lesser than. And I always look at cultures that are judged lesser than, and it rankles me. But like a guy like Christopher Columbus, I can see why, like, the people who are hell-bent on not removing the statue, I don't think are looking at they're not mindful of the whole situation. And they should be mindful of it.
Well, isn't there a maybe more modern Italian to kind of venerate?
There's plenty of Italian.
That's post-1492?
Yeah, there's plenty of Italian achievers that you can have pride in. And doesn't have to... Like, my parents never had Christopher Columbus lectures on how great he was when I was growing up. Maybe they knew the other side of it. I never heard about Christopher Columbus being this great Italian American that we had to
celebrate.
The only thing I knew about it was 1492.
Exactly. That's why I said on Monday I was confused as to where all this adoration came from.
I spoke to an Italian American, mm-hmm. and they believe that the anger right now really isn't the Columbus thing in Philadelphia. It's almost like Columbus's payback for Rizzo. That there are a certain percentage of Italian Americans who felt, and locally, felt upset about the Rizzo thing, but couldn't really say it because they know for a fact some of the things that Rizzo is accused of doing. But the Columbus is almost like, well, you took one, we can't let you take this other one. And it's not really about Columbus. It was about Rizzo and Columbus.
What about Galileo?
Well, yeah,
obviously. He was like a good guy.
Well, of course he was.
No body count.
Michelangelo.
That's what I'm saying. No body count.
I mean, you could go throughout history and find Italians that are worthy of worship, but there's another side to this. That's the thing that I'm trying to say. Like, things are what they are. You can't be blind to the fact there's another side of it, that he slaughtered Native Americans to get what he wanted.
Right.
And enslaved women and raped women and enslaved people that he brought over to help him in his quest. There's that side of it, of history. So you got to go, okay.
Galileo was also...
So now I'm to stay neutral on it.
He was born after Columbus, too. So he's more modern.
Well, there you go. So, like, you know, Greg, listen, I appreciate you writing in, baby. Come on, man. You know, I put everything in perspective. Like, I'd be a hypocrite if I go, oh, Columbus was such a great person. He wasn't. Like, there's another side to it. All right, let's go Mark in Pottstown. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
What's up? How's everybody doing, man?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
All right. Just real quick, Nat. Yeah, my stomach hurting the way you said, what about Galileo? I don't know why that made me laugh so hard just now. First, I wanted to comment on when Tyrone bored about that the whole fan experience thing with the games. I think we got to stop that, man. Like, what's the limit on this thing? When does it stop? Like, when do we say, you know, enough with the artificial or the nuances for where we are?
I'm not sure I get what you mean.
Well, because, you know, Tyrone said, yeah, they're going to hold up the cars and they're going to have the artificial rumbling to try to simulate kind of like the fan experience of the games. But I'm saying, when will we stop?
Well, what's the difference if they did that? Like, how would that be detrimental to what they're trying to present?
Well, I just think if we open the door, I think the NBA and other fans, the NBA is going to keep adding to that. They're not going to stop with just the fan card.
Well, what could they possibly do? Like, what are you afraid of?
I think we should just take it back to the gridiron, man. Back to the 5-on-5 in the neighborhood or at the gym where you just play for the love of the game. And I think we could kind of probably get even
how would a TV production affect that? That's what they're going to do anyway. Like, what do you care about what the TV production will look like?
I'm just afraid of the shenanigans that could come with it, like a robot spilling juice on a court or, you know, some other random thing. I don't know, man. I'm just afraid of what the NBA would do.
There's not going to be no robots. There's not going to be any robots. They'll doctor the screen and make it more presentable on what they think will be more visual for you. So what's the difference?
I don't know, man.
It's going to be different. Here's the thing you got used to. It's not going to be the same product that we're used to seeing with crowd in the background, right? So the people that are presenting it to you on television go, okay, what's going to present better to a viewer? It's not going to, you know, like, it's different. You got to just accept it. It's going to be different, but it's not going to be made worse because they're going to doctor up a screen and put a background on it.
Here we go, Mike. Here we go. That's like you don't have spaghetti in the house, so you get a thing of ravioli, a little cup, whatever, right? And now you're trying to add ingredients to make it like, you know, the real spaghetti. It's like, it's not going to work. Just eat the ravioli and be cool. Just take what we got.
I have no idea what you're even talking about. Why he gotta go spaghetti on me?
He didn't. Right? That was a big violation.
Why he gotta go spaghetti on me? He gotta go spaghetti and ravioli all of a sudden.
And also, I guess what he meant was if you had to go jar sauce.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, that was wrong. Now, if you had to go jar sauce, and I know you never go jar sauce, I know that, but if you did, you might add some seasoning to it to make it taste better.
Yes.
That's all the NBA would be trying to do is ask.
Here's what we know. Like, let's deal with what we know here, right? What we know is the product will not what we're used to seeing. It's going to be different in some form. So once it's different, why do we care how different it'll be? You know, the ball still has to go through the net and it's a tally on a board, right? That's the essence of the game is staying the same.
Right, but the rest of the stuff we're used to seeing, though, as fans in the production, the dunk squad, when they come back from commercial and cutaways, we're used to that as fans.
Yes.
So if you can make that look closer to real, why not?
Yeah, is it going to be different? Yeah, but it might be cool.
Yeah, might like it.
Like, what's... I don't understand the guy's point. Why we just want to go back to pick up basketball with 5-on-5. Well, it's still going to be 5-on-5. That's not going to change that part of it.
And just so he's clear, I don't think he... They're not going to be robots or androids. Mm-hmm. It'd be in the stadium. It would be no mm-hmm. one. But
yeah.
when we watch on TV, since we can't be there, it would be the appearance as if there were fans in the building. And the Italian soccer mm-hmm. looks good. It looks like there's a active crowd while the game's going on. To me, that adds to the product. So if the right. NBA decides to make it look like there's an active crowd, that may trick our brains a little bit into some mm-hmm. more normalcy. I don't mind that. I want normalcy. In a perfect world, there would be fans. But we can't because of the pandemic.
Like, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, relax. It'll be all right. We're going to have sports back. It's like, that's the important thing. Like, the presentation is the last thing on my mind right now. 610-622-0975. All right. On the other side, my top five Italians.
Of all time? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
I love this.
Top five Italians of all time. And I might expand it to 10 if I include Sinatra. It's 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 347, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, so I got my Italian list. I went 10, but the top five are indisputable. So I go number one, Galileo Galilei.
Rightfully so. He's the man.
Number one.
All time.
Number two, Da Vinci.
Excellent
body of work. Yes. Excellent body of work. Yes. Da Vinci. Both in science and art.
Tremendous body of work. Number three, Michelangelo.
Of course.
Number four, Dante Alighieri. The poet and author of Divine Comedy.
Oh. Mm. Not familiar with his work.
Come on. Dante. And five in an upset. Because if you study history, and this is actually referred to in The Sopranos, when they're sitting around eating pasta at the dinner table, the inventor of the telephone was arguably not Alexander Graham Bell. But it was Antonio Meucci.
I think I've heard this.
Yes.
Mm.
So Meucci,
uh-huh.
if he got in there first, I give him the fifth spot.
What's the debate between him and Graham Bell?
He did it before Graham Bell.
Right.
And didn't get the credit that Graham Bell got.
Interesting. Wonder why that is.
Because I guess they assumed he was just a guy making pasta or throwing pizza dough in the air.
Maybe he was actually
inventing the telephone.
Maybe he's just had a busy signal, something like that.
Possibly. And then I go with Vivaldi.
Oh, nice. Yes.
That's a great true. Composer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Machiavelli.
Solid. Ooh, is he's below Ooh. The telephone guy?
Yeah, because
it's
controversial.
Five.
Yeah, you know, not all that's positive.
That's true.
Yeah. Nothing negative about the phone.
Yeah. And then I go, Enrico Fermi.
Who's he?
Enrico Fermi was a great scientist.
What did he do?
What did Fermi do now?
He was in fermentation, was he?
Enrico Fermi did, he was very famous for something. But
I'm looking at he's a physicist.
Yeah, he's a physicist. He's a scientist.
He created the first nuclear reactor.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he was in the nuclear physicist business.
Man, didn't live that long.
No, he died young.
Yeah.
53 years old.
Fermi, yeah. He created the first nuclear reactor. He won the Nobel Prize, by the way. And then I go Padre Pio.
Solid.
Like that.
Yeah.
Stigmata.
I know.
And then for the fifth spot, or tenth spot, I go, I don't go Columbus. I go Marco Polo.
Yeah, now that's an explorer that was going, knew where he was going. He wasn't taking a long way to India and then hit something exactly. And then kill a bunch of people.
And he got so famous, he got in a Geico commercial.
Yes, a very good Geico commercial.
There you go.
One of the best.
And he has a game named after him. That was childhood game. That was in the commercial.
You've never seen the commercial? The real Marco Polo was playing Marco Polo with the kids.
In the pool. And the kids, and they're saying, Marco Polo.
And he can't figure it out. He goes, "See, Marco. Excuse me. Say, qui Marco Polo."
It's awesome. It's the best commercial.
Yeah, I missed that.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
It's so good. It's the best one of all the Geico.
It's not bad. He can't figure out why the kids don't recognize him. They go, Marco. All right, let's go to Travis on the cell. Travis, you're 97.5 The Fanatic. Travis.
Hey, how you doing, fella?
What's going on, Travis?
What about no Mussolini and no Columbus, right? You know, these guys.
They got weighed down by, like, you know, they got weighed down by some bad mojo.
Yeah, bad vibes.
Mussolini was a fascist dictator. I can't reward him. Come on, man.
Hey, it's in the history book.
He was a bad guy. He was hanging out with Hitler.
I hear you. Hey, man, I am so tired of Kyrie Irving. You know, I'm glad they said he couldn't go. Now he wants to try to cancel the whole shebang. It's like, you know, as much as that, though, I'm not really looking forward to it because I got to believe Embiid will be one of the first guys to get out the bubble or get caught or, you know, sneaking somebody in the bubble in a suitcase. You know, this team, they're just not mature enough, and that's what it's about. It's not the talent. It's not the size. You know,
what do you think? Joel is he likes to have fun, but he's not a party dude.
Yeah, okay, man.
No, he's not. He doesn't go out and party. He's got a chance of wandering out of the bubble and just taking a walk.
Okay, but if it happens, would you be surprised?
Yes, I would. I expect these guys to follow the rules. They know what's at stake here.
You expect they don't listen to their coach. They don't have rules.
Just talk about their lives, man. This is all about selfish, their lives, staying healthy. They know it could die. They're not going to break rules.
Mike, they don't believe that. They feel like they're invincible, which is why
the protocol is set up that they don't follow it. They could slip. The importance of them staying in this bubble is emphasized in 100-plus pages in this report.
Yeah, okay. In Florida, I just read a situation where 16 people went out to a bar and all of them got corona.
Okay, but would you do it?
Would I do what?
Would you go out to a bar?
No.
Okay, you have common sense. So who's to say these guys, knowing this protocol and what they can and can't do, are just going to ignore the rules?
It is a done deal. They got violators already. They ain't even down there yet, Mike. You write that down. Oh, as far as the Philly getting rid of their stars, Julius Irving didn't finish. Moses Malone, Brenda Moore.
Julius Irving finished here.
I don't know about that, Mike.
Wait, what are you talking about? You didn't know. He didn't get traded.
Oh, what about Iverson?
Iverson was done. He wasn't a star that became a star somewhere else.
He averaged 25
when he was
in Denver.
No, he did not. Yeah. All right. Sorry. What, 1 year?
Hey, I think it was 2 years, but he did it.
Come on, man. The circumstances. AI was done here when they got rid of him. It's not the same. Now, you can make a case for Curt Schilling because they could have kept him. But they're thinking, first of all, Ed Wade didn't like him. Second of all, they were terrible. So they figured they would get. Now, it was a horrendous trade that you should never make ever. But it wasn't like if they kept him, they were going to be a winner.
Right. Now, just to clarify the Iverson thing, they traded him in the middle of that 2006 season. He was averaging 31 with the Sixers. He averaged 24.8 the rest of that year, 26 the following year, and then it fell off like a cliff. 18, 17, 12. And then 13 for a little bit here, and then he was done. Mm-hmm. So he was past it when he was not some star in his prime at that time.
He was not, and nor was Moses. With all due respect, Moses didn't go anywhere and continue greatness. He was coming to the end.
Right. He had already done a lot of that work before he got here.
Yes.
And then Yeah, he lasted.
Talking about the notion that we trade away great players to, and allow them to be great players somewhere else is the basis that we're looking at. Irving doesn't fit in that because they never traded him. Iverson doesn't fit in that. Moses doesn't fit in that. Barkley fits into it, but talked his way out of town. Schilling fits into it. Reggie White fits into it. And that's about it.
Somebody was suggesting Trotter and Dawkins. Trotter did not play well with Washington at all. Ended up coming back. And Dawkins was older as
well. He was no longer a great player. Now, they should have kept him.
Yeah.
But they not because he was a great player.
They didn't do a good job replacing him.
Right. All right. 610-632-0975. We roll into the 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.